God bless you. Would you put your hands together as we take your seat? All right, so let me go on straight to the Word of God. Last week I started the series, Who is God? Let's say together, Who is God? So ask your neighbor, Who is God? Oh, you didn't hear you say, Who is God? Now, who is God in your life? Who is God in your life? Last week we talked about the fatalist idea of God. The fatalists believe that God is a joker. Things happen because they must happen. And they are predetermined, so they will happen. And then we talk about also the deist idea. The deist idea of God is that God, after creating everything, went to sleep. So he is in heaven, he has finished his creation, he no longer cares about what he has created. Then we talk also about the idea of what we call the atheist idea. The one who believes there is no God. But for us, we must know that there is a God. Hallelujah. And that is why I'm taking time this year, and I'm going to be developing a lot of series within this year for you, because I believe this year all of us must know God. Hallelujah. And each one of you must know God on a personal level. Tell your neighbor, you must know him on a personal level. Oh, say you must know God on a personal level. So this year, every one of us, we want to know God on a very personal level. Now, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and which I want us to be using this year, the word of this year, as our anchor scripture, that will be reciting it and declaring it every Sunday. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Yeah.
Hear, O Israel.
Now, would you please rise with me? Let's all rise. Yes. So read for us.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Let's say it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. This year we're going to be chanting it. Now you can say, hear, O. You can put your name there. You can eliminate Israel and put your name there. So let's say it together. Hear, O. And make it your own. Personalize it. This year, that's what we're going to be doing. When we say, hear, O, then you mention your name. Then you say, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O. The Lord. Give a clap unto the Lord. Put your hands together for him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Hallelujah. That is our anchor scripture this year. Hear, O New Height, the Lord your God is one. Hallelujah. And today we want to continue from where we left last week. Last week we talked about the God who is the I am that I am. Hallelujah. We talked about the designation of God, the name of God, his identity. We spoke about his nature. And today we want to continue from there. We talk about God who is I am, and when we say he is the I am, we mean that he is a self-existence. Hallelujah. He doesn't need anybody to create him. Whereas other gods are being created, he is not created by any man. Hallelujah. So, we spoke about the designation of God, the identity, who God is. And of his name is I am. You see, when you meet somebody and you don't know, the first thing you ask you what you want to do is introduce yourself. And you go by, hi, I am
so so and so.
And
that person would also respond and say, I am also so so and so. That is how we introduce ourselves to one another if we don't know each other. God also reveals himself to us. And in the Bible, you see that throughout. He reveals his identity to his people. He did that to Moses. He did that to Abraham. But in Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 9, he reveals himself to Moses. And he tells him, Yahweh El. I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord, your God. And he did not use Yahweh once, but he uses it twice. And that emphasis on his name. And not also even in a third person. But he uses the name in the first person pronoun. I am Yahweh. I am your self-existence God. I am the one that exists before the world. Humans, that is why we are unable to understand who he is. Because he exists before us. And we find it difficult to understand who he is. Because we want him to be like us. We want him to behave the way we behave. But God is above you. And far beyond every human being. So when we talk about I am, who is an eternal one. In other words, he's a great God. He is the I am who was. And he is the I am who is. So he is not just was. And he is not just the God to be. He is not now becoming God to us, but he is eternal. In other words, he is a present progressive God. He is there forever. We also understood that I am simply means an active God. He is active in his existence. And because he's an active God, he's involved in the affairs of men. So don't let anyone deceive you that God is not interested in the affairs of men. God is very much interested in your affairs. He's interested in your affairs. And he cares about you. So don't buy the idea that he's an old man sitting somewhere with gray hair and snoring and doesn't care much about you. But I want you to understand that God cares about you. God cares about your rent. God cares about your fees. God cares about your marriage. Because he's involved in your life. But if you depend on him, he will do it for you. I say he will do it for you. We also talk about his reputation.
Yes, I can't because And we say names carry so much authority. But there is one name in this world that has never failed anybody. I ever listened to an armed robber who was sharing a story, an armed robber. And he said, when they are going to sleep, they pray to God. And there was a moment where an armed robber will pray to God. He said, even when they are captured, the police are chasing them or the mob are chasing them, they mention the name of Jesus. There's an atheist, one who doesn't believe in God. And he was in a plane. And the plane was flying to another state. And there was also a Christian who believes in God. And all of a sudden they saw that the plane was not going well. They saw that there were tender storms and other things happening in the airways. And then everybody was crying. But the Christian was quiet and praying. Then the atheist went to the Christian and said, "My friend, at this point you are sleeping. Why don't you call the name of Jesus?" Then the Christian opened his eyes and turned to the atheist and said, "I thought you don't believe in God. So what has caused you to believe in God?" In other words, even the one who believes there is no God, deep down their heart, they know there is God. And that is why this year, you must rely on the Lord and believe Him for everything. Believe Him for everything. And that is how come there will be change in your life this year. So this morning, I want to go to the second part of my message. God's description. How can we describe God? This year, how can you describe God in your life? How can you describe God in your office? How can you describe God at work? How can you describe God even in your school? How can you describe God in the marketplace? And how can you describe God on the street? And how can you describe God in the church? The description of God. One of the descriptions that I want to give you today is that there are a lot of attributes of God, but I'm going to give you three descriptions of Him. One of them is what we call the benevolent attribute. Say together, the benevolent attribute. Hallelujah. The benevolent attribute of God. Now, when you read Exodus 34, verse 6, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed." The Lord. The Lord. God. And this is the name he proclaimed. This is the benevolent attribute of God. He said, "I am merciful. I am merciful." Say, God is merciful. Some other your scriptures, some other version will say, "He is compassionate." So God is merciful. He is a merciful God. And this year, God will show us mercy. God will show you mercy at the marketplace. God will show you mercy at your office. God will show you mercy in your school. God will show you mercy in your church. And we declare that this year of God, I see this in New Heights, God's mercy will come.
come upon us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is a merciful God. Merciful God. Merciful God. Everybody will not show you mercy. But God will show you mercy. Because he's a merciful God. And his mercies are forever. He doesn't have a time limit on his mercy. And that is why God this year is going to show me and my family mercy. That is why God is going to show you and your family mercy. Because he's merciful. Then he says he's not just merciful. But the scripture says he is gracious. He is gracious. He is gracious. The word gracious in that portion of scripture in Exodus, even other places in the Old Testament, occurs about 13 times. 13 times. God uses this to describe how he deals with people. He did that with even David. When his son was sick, God showed him mercy. That is how God works. He's a gracious God. Now, what you must understand is that even though he's gracious, but he also doesn't go without his justice. Because there are three things you must understand. When we talk of God's mercy, when we say he's merciful, we simply are saying that not getting what you deserve. But he does it for you. That is what his mercy stands for. But when we talk of God's justice, in other words, getting what we deserve for what we have done. But when we say God's grace, is getting what you don't deserve. There is a difference between God's grace, God's mercy, and the justice of God. For his grace, what you don't deserve, he gives to you. But that is why I believe strongly this year, we may not have deserved the grace of God, but God will fill you with much grace this year. He will bring grace your way to help you and to help me to get to know him more, to walk with him, to love him, to face the impossible, and to overcome the hurdles of life. So whatever has been designed this year in everyone's life, God's grace, the English word says it will catapult you. God's grace will catapult you. He will fill you with grace. What you don't deserve will come your way. I said, what you don't deserve will come your way. I told the Bible men will do, what you don't deserve this year will come your way. What your family doesn't deserve this year will come your way. What your children does deserve, it will come your way. What we don't deserve as New Heights, it will come our way. Is somebody ready to receive it? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. He is also long suffering. He is long suffering. Verse 6. He said he's long suffering. God is long suffering. He is patient. He has all the patience in this world. In fact, the literal translation means he has a long nose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you see, when somebody gets you angry, the way your nose will start burning. If somebody gets you angry, you see that your face automatically changes. God's face never changes. He's long suffering. The scripture says he's slow to anger. Very slow to anger. That is why, look, we have to trust God. Because in all our weaknesses, in all our faults, he is long suffering, slow to anger, slow to anger. You must know that. Then the next attribute is that he's a bountiful God. He's a bountiful God. He's a bountiful God. Bountiful simply means he abounds in goodness. He abounds in goodness. He has a lot of goodness in him. Now, other scripture translation called the goodness of God loyalty. God is a loyal God. He's a loyal God. In fact, the Hebrew word for that word is called hesed. Hesed, hallelujah. Let's say together, say hesed. The hesed of God. Good. The loyalty of God. The goodness of God. I came to tell you one thing. That this year, the extraordinary hesed of God would overflow in your life. I said the extraordinary hesed of God would overflow your life. His goodness never ran out in our life. God's goodness never runs out. And this year, his goodness will never run out in your life. I say his goodness will never run out in your life. His hesed will remain in our homes. His hesed will remain in our country. His hesed will remain in Ghana. His hesed will remain in Domi. His hesed will remain in ICGC New Heights. Not only us, but the whole ICGC in the world. His loyalty will remain with us. His goodness will run over. His mercy will run over. His grace will run over. I said, this year you are going to encounter him. Why? Because when Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, when he was told to go to the town of Nineveh to proclaim the goodness of God, that was the hesed of God, the loyalty of God. Even for people who have sinned against him and doesn't want to have anything to do with him, he was compassionate towards them. Now let's read. I want us to read. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Hey, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled to Tarshish. For I know that." I love this scripture. Can we read together? And I want you to go and read this scripture every day. He said, and he prayed
unto the Lord. Let's read together. Let's 1, 2. Let's read. And he prayed unto the Lord. Please shout that you are in church. And said,
no, Christ said,
I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God.
Oh,
he said, for I knew that in the past, the sentence in the past, knew. I knew that thou art a gracious God. So this year, God will be gracious to you. The reason I know is because God will not look upon what you have done last year. And God is not even about to look at what you are doing this year. But his grace will be upon you. I said his grace will be upon you. His grace will be upon you. He said, I knew. Why is he saying that? Because in Jonah's heart, these people do not deserve the grace of God. They need to be annihilated. But Jonah is amazed that God is ready to save such a country and such a people. He is amazed. That is why this year it will be an amazement to your enemies. It will be an amazement to the people who are looking down upon you. Because they think that you do not deserve the mercies of God. In your heart of heart, they wish you remain where you are seated every day. In your heart of heart, they wish that this church will not progress. But this year, may we announce to them, may we sound the trumpet to them, that God will be gracious this year. I said, God will be gracious this year. God will be gracious this year. A job here that is not going well. I strongly believe in my heart this year that God is about to establish his graciousness, and that grace will come upon the job. Do we have businessmen and women here? Would you rise up and give God some thanks and say, Lord, this year be gracious unto my work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said this year God will be gracious unto your work. Electricity bills, God will provide this year. His bountiful grace will come upon you. He is gracious. Gracious. Gracious God. Do I have somebody with God to shout that he is gracious? Hallelujah. He is a gracious God. Not only that, look at what Jonah said. And merciful. Oh, hallelujah. All the words you've been saying, he's repeating them. He is slow to anger. And of great kindness. And repenteth thee of the evil. So this year, I don't know, but God's kindness is coming onto some house. Some people are going to receive some great kindness. When the Lord show you kindness, you will remain in the lion's den. And the lion cannot swallow you. They will never chew you. Then he said in Exodus chapter 34 verse 6, the last one, he said he abounds in truth. He is abounding in truth. Do you know what that means?
Abounding in truth simply means he is a dependable God. Your God is a dependable God. He is dependable. He can be trusted. He can be held on to. You can hang on unto him. He's not a man who should disappoint. He's not a man who should lie. He's a dependable God. And he keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Men may fail you in their promises. But God is a dependable God who will never fail in his promises to you. So this year, if God has promised you that you will walk through January to December, I came to echo unto you that nothing will take you away this year. You will live from January to December and even cross over December into the next year. In this year, God has promised you that he is taking you to the next level of your life. That promise of God will surely come to pass. In this year, God has promised you health, divine health. Then I came to echo unto you that no sickness will put you down this year. I said, no sickness will put you down this year. You may have experienced certain symptoms in your body. Even this year, but I stand on the authority of God's word and declare upon his church that God will heal you of your disease. God will heal you of your sicknesses. Receive divine healing this year. Walk in divine healing. Walk in divine healing. Hallelujah. In this year, God has promised you a wife. Or God has promised you a husband. This year, you will marry some. I said this year, if God has promised. By the way, if you are not of age, sit down. If you are still a toddler, sit down. I'm talking to those who have reached the age of marriage. If God has promised you this year that you would marry this year, you will have a husband, you will have a wife, that promise of God will not fall flat. It shall surely come to pass. I say it shall surely come to pass. Hallelujah. He is a dependable God. Abounding in truth. The last one. He's also a balanced God. So we call it the balanced attribute of God. Balanced attribute. Yeah, balanced attribute. Now, what you must understand, let's go to Exodus 34 verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands generations. I want to assure, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. How many things have we listed here? Three things. Forgiving what? Iniquity. Forgiving transgression. And forgiving what? Sin. In other words, this year God is ready to forgive your sins. I said this year God is ready to forgive you. That is why I love 1 Chronicles 7:14. If the people who call the name of God shall retreat and turn to God, then he will forgive them of their sins. So this year, I know God is going to forgive the sins of your family. This year, I know God is going to forgive you your sins. God is ready. But are you ready to confess your guilt to him? If you are, then this year God will forgive you. He's not going to hold on to your guilt.
on to your guilt. The one thing God doesn't like is an unrepentant sinner. An unrepentant sinner. Now, if you have repentance this year, if you have repentance this year, then God is ready to forgive you. I said, God is ready to forgive us. He is ready to forgive us. Now, the scripture says, He visited the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. And upon the children's children. Unto the third and fourth generation. This scripture has been misunderstood largely by a lot of people. And we preach, some pastors have used this for generational curse. So some pastors using the scripture to preach on generational curse. But this scripture is not about generational curse. Now, what it simply means is this. When the scripture said that iniquity would come upon the children because of their fathers, it does not simply mean that the children will get the punishment from their fathers. Now, but this is how it means, what it means. Now you see, there are certain things, sins you commit or things you do in life that remains an indelible ink upon you. It becomes a stamp. So even though the children did not know what you did, but if you are a father and you are an armed robber, and they have arrested you several times, and have come to the media, and you give birth to a child, that sin of that father does not literally mean the child is going to be an armed robber, but that boy is going to suffer the guilt of that father's misbehavior. This is the meaning of that scripture. That is why whatever we are doing today, we've got to be careful. Because there are certain things we cannot erase. And that is why you have to be careful as parents what you do in your life. Because if you commit, there are natural consequences of sin. And those natural consequences of sin follow after the children. Even though they will not inherit it directly, but it will affect them. If you are a wicked man, and everybody knows you are a wicked man, and you, people come to you, you throw them away, there is a likelihood that when your children also get to a place and somebody knows them that they are Shumesi's child, the same treatment you make, you method on others, that same treatment will go for your children. That is what we got to be careful. Everything we are doing today, so that we will not let our children inherit the sins of us. In other words, the consequences, the natural consequences. But it doesn't mean that your generational curse is following after your life. It does not mean that. Because there is no generational curse that can travel into your generation. Why? Because once you know Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, which speaks better than any other blood, it is still speaking for us. We are covered in the blood of Jesus. The blood has blotted away the iniquities of our fathers. Therefore, it cannot have any effect over your life. Now, if you are here and you are afraid, that what your fathers did is having effect on your life. I came to declare to you, by the stamp of Jesus Christ, I said, by the stamp of Jesus Christ, it has no effect on you. I take up the stamp of Jesus Christ and we erase it from your life. We say, we erase it from your life. We erase it from your life. You will never inherit the sins of your fathers. We erase it in Jesus' name. Because some people are abusive. Very abusive. If your family that is an abusive family,
free,
your children may face the same abusement. And we're going to be careful. Finally, and I end. Verse 8. The expectation. Our expectation. And Moses. And Moses made haste. What did the scripture say? Moses made haste. Moses made haste. Sometimes I wish I could speak to you more than this. Look, I see this new height. We must make haste. There is something here. God is here. God is here. This is not a place of dead demons. Witchcraft doesn't have authority here. Let me tell you, we may be going through a turbulence time, but I'm telling you, God is here, and I trust him so much that he is here. Signs and wonders will sprout out of this place. God will do it. Moses made haste. He rushed and bowed and his head toward the earth. In other words, he was worshiping this way. He put his head down and worshipped after God told him that he is merciful God. He is a gracious God. He is abounding in truth. And said, because of my mercy, the abuses of your fathers, whatever they have carried all these years, because I'm gracious, because I'm abounding in truth, because I am merciful, because I am long suffering, I am going to cover all these sins and remember them no more for you. Then Moses saw that this is deep. He said, I cannot stand on my feet any longer. I have to bow to this God. His name is Yahweh El. Yahweh, the Lord our God. This is the God we are talking about. And if you believe this God, and this year you will make haste, you will make haste and worship God this year. Worship him this year. Grace will abound on you. Mercy will reach out to you. Love will reach out to you. If you would abound in him, if you make haste this year, your family will be protected. God will show grace to you. That is the word of God. What else do you want to hear? What word do you want to hear? the word of God. This is the truth of God's word. This is life. This is God's word to us. I want you to leave this place this morning.
Full
and bow and worship Him. Because His grace, His mercy, His long suffering has brought me this far.
Will
you rise to your feet?